If you're like me, you probably have a closet full of local band merch. And whether you know it or not, a lot of that band merch is probably made by Divine Shirt Company right here in Winnipeg. Divine Shirt Company has made all of the Great Witch Police merch, from our hoodies to our toques to our t-shirts. And if you're looking to get anything done, like screen printing, embroidery, graphic design, digital printing, go to see Divine Shirt Company at divineshirtcompany.ca and tell them Witch Police Radio sent you.
One of our colleagues, Sam Thompson, who, if you saw him, you'd sort of right away assume he was a hippie.
Witch Police Radio!
Welcome to Witch Police Radio. I'm back with a returning guest. It's been a few years since I had you on the show, but you've been on a number of times, and I'm always happy to have you talking about, you know, the latest things that are happening in your musical world. And I'm going to get you to introduce yourself and give a bit of background about who you are and what you do. But I also want you to sort of give me some information as to where we're doing this call, because usually, even if it's remote, usually I'm talking to someone in Manitoba. And I mean, you are from here, obviously, and you live here, but you're not in the province right now. So let's just start with who are you and what do you do? And then where are you right now?
Yeah, absolutely. No, my name is Quentin Blair. I'm a country music singer-songwriter. I love to play rodeo dances and country fairs across Canada. We spent a lot of time out west, which is where I am right now. Was doing some press today for a new single that's coming out. There's actually a little wreck on the highway, so it got me delayed a little bit. Spend a lot of time out west and love it out here. And then actually I'm going to head down south into Montana and just do some camping, exploring, and then start looking at some markets that down there to start working in too. So,
oh, very cool, very cool. So you're like actively in tour mode right now. Like, I mean, I've been watching your social media, and you play shows everywhere out that way.
Yeah. It's been kind of crazy. We just kind of like did sort of that formal expansion last summer, and I think we are in, like in Alberta, 16 weekends between April and November.
Well,
like it was just three times a month we're driving. And the tour model, the downside about, you know, kind of working like it's almost like special events in every town. The downside is work only happens on Friday and Saturday night. So it's not your typical tour model where it's like, I'm going to go out, I'm going to route 10 dates, do a big circle, go down Highway 1, up Highway 22, or go all the way to the coast and then come back down 16 or something like that. It's not touring like that. It's like in, out, in, out, in, out, in, out. So we had some weekends where we'd play in like Edmonton on Friday night and then like Melitta, Manitoba on Saturday night, and we just have to drive through the night. Or we played Ranchman's during Calgary Stampede last year, and then we played Craven at 12 noon. I had to be on the songwriter stage, so we had to drive through the night just to get to Craven so I could play that that show. So it's been kind of a crazy journey, and we're just having a blast doing it.
Well, it's obviously working out for you. I mean, the fact that you're putting in that effort to do those long drives, clearly playing out there has been successful for you enough to keep doing it, right?
Well, and I mean, I've been kind of having this conversation. I was writing a tune with Katie St. Germain on the weekend, and we were chit-chatting a bit, and then, I guess just the sort of, I had sort of multiple facets of the artistic lifestyle all happen in a short period of time. So, you know, there's a lot of kind of book work. I don't think people recognize the amount of kind of like paper and pen, well, it's really mouse and keyboard kind of work that you got to do as a musician. I don't mind doing that kind of stuff. It's not my forte. I'm not the best on social media. I'm really trying hard to kind of get that game really stepped up. So we've been focusing on that for the last 6 months or so. So I was writing a song with Katie, and we had this great chorus, and we wrote a great verse, and it's like, now we got to write a second verse. And it's like the thing I got to push through. And then I was tracking a bunch of demos for some of the new stuff that we're going to have coming out, or I'm going to have coming out. And it's just, it's not my favorite. My favorite part of being an artist is being in front of people, creating connections and moments and memories. And I tell you, the guys who are in the band right now, this iteration of the band, is so tight as a group of friends.
Yeah.
I don't think we've ever been this. We've always been tight. I've always had really tight groups of players, but it's never been this. And it probably has a lot to do with the fact that, you know, we're on the bus all the time.
Sure.
And so it's so fun. We leave on Thursday nights typically, and then we'll drive to like Belgoni, Saskatchewan, or if we've got to be somewhere really early in the morning, we'll just drive through the night. But like, it's not like a star coach. It's not like a Prevo or, you know, kind of anything really great. Think of an old airport shuttle.
Okay.
It was an entertainment coach that came out of LA, and it was bought by a band called Tim and the Glory Boys.
Okay.
And Tim had it modified, and they put in six bunks, and it's got like a leather lounge at the back and TV, fridge, all that kind of stuff. So it's all right, but it's not like, you know, Air Ride and stuff. So it's a pretty rocky kind of tumble when you're driving through the night. But, you know, typically it's like sitting on the couches in the back, and we've all got guitars and mandolins and fiddles and washboards, and we're just hanging out playing music literally for 6 hours probably on the Thursday night when we leave. And I mean, music has this thing of just like connecting people,
for
right?
Sure.
And so when you've got the musicians just going, I mean, it's so much fun that, you know, it doesn't matter that we're driving 22 hours to Grand Prairie. It's like, this is the time that it hits you where it's like, it's a tough tour schedule is on the Sunday coming home.
I bet, yeah.
That's always the time where you're just like, how come I drove 22 hours to play a show? But, you know, that's where the show is, and we're getting a lot of really kind of positive responses. So, you know, you just go and you work those markets, and you're grateful that you have that. I mean, you know, it would be nice to be 10 hours closer to that market, but it is what it is.
Well, and I guess you play a style of music too. I mean, I have your albums. I'm nothing against the recorded stuff, but you play a very live style of music. I mean, it definitely lends itself to being there in person and having that sort of, you know, more intimate relationship between the band and the audience than you're necessarily going to get on a CD, right? Like, that's the style of music that you play.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it is one of those things too, where in country music, it's different than every other genre of music. Maybe folk would be in this world as well.
Sure.
But that's kind of the tradition of folk music. But like, you have to know other people's music. So when you play a country show, it doesn't matter who you go and see, there's always a couple of cover tunes that bands are playing. And I mean, where we go out there, we got to play like 360-minute sets. Sometimes we play 360s on Friday, and we have to play a different 360 on Saturday. Like, that's like, I don't know, like 100 tunes that we've got to have in our rep. And I, you know, really am proud and push our original music, but you got to know a lot,
sure,
of other music kind of to play within that country vein. I think that's what kind of gives us so much artistic excitement on stage, because we're never trying to play a song like someone else plays it.
Yeah.
We're doing our own version of kind of their interpretation on it. And it allows these really cool moments on the stage between the musicians where we're talking with our instruments back and forth, and the crowd doesn't even know what's happening, but we're having these like amazing moments as players. And I think if you'd ask like what drives me as a musician, like that's what it is. It's not the people who, I mean, it is the people who are at the show because I want that connection.
Of course.
But it's not them like cheering. It's not, you know, hey, one more song, calling for an encore. It's none of that. It's the communication between the band and how we can read the room and deliver a great show. Shows I don't have a set list. I just call them out in the moment. Half the time the band doesn't know what song I'm playing until, you know, two chord, well, whatever, but I'll get them into the songs.
Yeah, yeah.
Said one day we were gonna roll down that old gravel road, gravel. a bottle of red in that old truck bed and just see where things go. Cuddled up so sweet on that big bench seat to some AM radio. No more could have been or should have been. Oh, baby, let's go. It's a Sunday, Sunday. Let's do the things we said we were gonna do. One day, let the world just keep on spinning and time keep ticking away. It's a Sunday, Sunday. Said one day I was gonna put that ring on your hand and build that two-story red brick white picket dream on that land. We always knew that we'd plant some roots and start a family. Well, no more waiting or hesitating. Well, baby, it's time for you and me. It's a Sunday, Sunday. Let's do said we were gonna do one day. Let the world just keep on spinning and time keep ticking away. It's a Sunday, Sunday. Yeah! Who don't wanna waste another minute? Let's get to loving and living. It's a Sunday, Sunday. Let's do the things we said we were gonna do one day. Let the world just keep on spinning and time keep ticking away. It's a Sunday, Sunday. It's a Sunday, Sunday. Let's do the things we said we were gonna do one day. Let the world just keep on spinning and time keep ticking away. It's a Sunday, Sunday. It's a Sunday, Sunday.
I guess that those long 20-hour rides, I mean, you're sitting there playing music, that helps to form that, right? That closeness, that muscle memory, that kind of innate connection between each other. Because you're playing music all the way to the show and then playing music at the show and then doing it all again the next night, I mean, that's got to just solidify that kind of vibe you have with the musicians.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it is kind of a funny thing because when we're traveling, like, I try to go off of our, like I don't want to play songs that we play every night.
Sure.
I want, you know, I don't know if you know Adam Warner. He was in town, a drummer. He's playing with White Horse, Red Moon Road. He played a number of shows with me last summer. He was actually my musical director. He ended up moving back to Toronto just a couple of months back, I guess around Christmas time. But it was fascinating because he's a drummer, incredible musical sensibilities, but then he can also play mandolin and play guitar. And he's got this incredible rep of music. Like, he knows all the stuff that we play, but I literally just sit there and he just starts going through the Roger Miller songbook. And it's like, that was an hour of the greatest hits of Roger Miller played by one of my best friends in the back of the bus while we're driving to a show.
And that's,
it's
cool.
Like, I get such a, like, it fills my soul to such a heavy degree. Just to experience music with my friends. And like, yes, sometimes we're on the bus and I don't even have a guitar. It's everyone else is playing. I'm just sitting back and enjoying the show.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. And it is interesting what you said too about country being kind of unique in that you have to know that, like, massive repertoire of other people's stuff. Cause I think you're right. I don't think, you know, you're in a punk band, you're not expected to know 30 songs by other artists. You just do your set and you're off. You're a rapper, whatever else, a metal band. I mean, maybe you'll do one cover, but that's it. And the rest of it is your own stuff. But that the whole idea of needing like a songbook, basically, of recognizable hit songs that people are going to either request or you can figure out that they're going to want to hear, that is fairly unique to what you do.
Yeah. And it's like, I've never really spent much time learning songs. Like, I don't typically sit down and like study lyrics or study chords and figure out what's going on. So, I mean, I just appreciate that. Like, I'm a country player. Like, I've tried to, like, you know, work on other projects and stuff like that. Hey, you can play guitar. Hey, come and do this stuff. And I'm like, I'm a country picker. It's just like modern country music, modern pop music, rock music. I can't earball it the same way as with country music. I just know where it's going to go. I've just got that sensibility. And so I don't kind of take that for granted. But it's interesting how it's like a bit of a limiting factor. like I can go and play folk music because I love a lot of folk music.
Yeah.
But yeah, outside of acoustic folk and country, it's like, good luck. But it's,
well, you're in the right job for it. You're in the right job for it then. I mean, if you're playing.
Well, I mean, we look at, I mean, Winnipeg is such an incredible market for musicians. And I had this experience last night. You know, they've got the Blues Jam at the Times Changed on Sunday nights, Big Dave, this legendary event. It's a great collection of roots and blues music, right? And I think a lesser known event that happens on a Sunday late afternoon, it goes from 4 till 8 at a venue called the Royal George in Transcona. And they have a country jam.
Oh, cool.
So it is players who have, it's the guys who worked in the 80s and 90s who used to play, you know, 6 nights a week plus a jam in the afternoon. Like, it's those guys. They know 5 times the number of songs that I do.
Yeah.
And all these jammers come together and they just, it still blows my mind that they're just like, let's play Try from Blue Rodeo. And I mean, it's this great kind of take on that. Or they'd play like Working Man Blues, and instead of playing it sort of in that bluesy kind of dominant seventh kind of way, Jerry McIver, this phenomenal country and blues picker, he plays it in a minor key, and it just changes the feel and sounds far more like a Dire Straits kind of thing. But these guys just step up, they call it, and even if you don't know the song, you'll figure it out by the time you hit the chorus, and it's this cool moment on stage. And man, like, we played it last night. We used to play that show every month. And I used it as like a rehearsal for the band and a great way to learn repertoire. And now it's like we showed up and I don't even know how many jammers we had last night. Like, I barely got them all in. I've wanted to run a whole bunch of songs for us that we're learning for this year and didn't even get a chance to do that because so many people showed up. But it's like Chandra Laveau, she's like this powerhouse vocal singer. You know, she steps up and the band is there. And I'm like, I can't believe that this is what I get to do.
Yeah.
So fun.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
And Winnipeg is so rich knowing that there's, you know, 30 people go into jam and step on stage at the Times Changed, and there's another 30 that go to the Royal George to step on stage playing country music. It's just like so cool. I love it.
And those are the high profile ones. And you got to think about how many other smaller, you know, groups of people are doing that all over the city on any given night.
Oh, absolutely, without a doubt. I mean, these were those two kind of like open jams. That's what I was kind of thinking. Yeah. That's why I kind of think I'm in the same. But but that's the unifying factor of music. I mean, my favorite show to play or my favorite place to play guitar is on my porch swing playing for nobody.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
it's a different vibe for sure.
but it fills my own soul, right? It's songs that matter to me, not to anyone else.
Right. Yeah. No, I like that. I like that. So you have some singles you've been releasing and new music and new original music. I mean, not just the covers you have to learn for the touring, but it's been a while since you released an actual record, right? I mean, was Cash Crop the last one?
Yep. Cash Crop was the last one.
The sun goes down. They got the good stuff you can't find at the store, but you gotta know the knock, knock, knock on the door. Fire up your Friday, running full throttle. A whole lot of trouble in a $20 bottle. A giant of a man with a snow white beard. Tell your son I've been cooking here for too many years. Out behind the barn in my moonshine still. If they ain't found me yet, they probably never will. It'll kick you like a mule, put a hitch in your hobble. A whole lot of trouble in a $20 bottle. You'll get your swim left, get
get you swayed by the makes you wanna love her, it makes you wanna fight. Every last call girl gets to looking like a model, a whole lot of trouble in a $20 bottle. She was sipping on her gin. She grabbed me by the hand, pulled me out on the floor, and the next thing you know, we were out the back door. Dixie cup was sipping that shine in the dark. Solid country gold got her here in my arms. Swaying to the left, swaying to the right, slow Keith Whitley in the full moonlight. She said, you only live once, baby, that's my motto. A whole lot of trouble in a $20 bottle. Hit me like a runaway train, rolling down the track, baby, running full throttle. A whole lot of trouble in a $20 bottle. Get you swaying left, get you swaying right. Makes you wanna love, makes you wanna fight. Kicks you like a mule, put a hitch in your hobble. A whole lot of trouble in a $20 bottle. Fired up a Friday river, running full throttle. A whole lot of trouble in a $20 bottle. A whole lot of trouble in a $20 bottle. A whole lot of trouble in a $20 bottle.
We were kind of like trying to figure out how the music landscape was changing, going to singles, and then COVID came along, and we've been sitting on, it's just a like, it's a timing thing, like back to that kind of keyboard and mouse thing. It's we had songs in the can that we're waiting for the right time to put them out, and now we're kind of putting them out, and we've got a lot more coming down the road right away. So it'll be an interesting next 2 years, I'd say. But yeah, we just put out a single last month, just to streaming services. I mean, it is this weird thing where, I mean, you're very much the exception to the rule of people who collect like music and collect local music. And I mean, that's the coolest. I love it when you're like posting about, yo, here's my local collection that I'm listening to today. I mean, we need more people doing that. But we're streaming songs. So we released this tune onto streaming services in March, and it'll go to radio in April. And you never know. I mean, radio is kind of this game where there's so much changing right now and so much syndication. And I mean, I was sitting in Moose Jaw today talking to my friend Courtney Fielder, who runs a syndicated show across Canada on a country showcase, and then works at the country station. And just, we're listing off the people that we know personally in the radio community who've been laid off in the last 4 months.
Absolutely.
And it's so tough, just instantly, change of format, we don't need you anymore. And that's such an unnerving kind of position for people in that spot, and that's tough, right? So I don't know if you kind of see that in other industries. I feel like media is one where you just see it's just right there.
Yeah, it happens all the time. I mean, like, you know, I work in journalism for my day job, and it's a thing you read about all the time. Someone else's company, the station or newspaper or whatever, has just like fired a ton of people or shut down or been merged with some other company. And it's a weird environment for it right now.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're forced into like sitting back and seeing what was going to happen, and that's why we kind of sat on this music for a little while. So it's not like we weren't busy, or we weren't trying to proceed. We were just waiting for the right time to put stuff out and what song coming out at the right time. So that was kind of our model to this point, and I guess we'll see how it does, and we'll see when the next one comes out.
But I guess you're in a good spot though as far as radio goes, because there is like a fairly strong, I mean, you know, unexpected things happening aside, there's a pretty good ecosystem for country radio in Canada, especially in the prairies, right? I mean, there's so many little community stations and smaller stations. I mean, even in Winnipeg, there's got to be 5 or 6 different country stations on both AM and FM, obviously serving different kinds of different styles of country and different audiences. But you go to the end of the dial on FM and there's a whole bunch of, like, it's still a viable,
yeah,
a viable genre for radio, whereas some other things, maybe not so much anymore.
Well, and even if you look at it, I mean, like, why is Beyonce and Post Malone playing country music right now?
Yeah.
Because country music is massive. And it's one of the last genres where, you know, superstars do get some great opportunities at the radio and getting, you know, tours.
Yeah.
Like, think about the way that Beyonce just opened up her market by, you know, wearing a cowboy hat, standing beside a horse and, you know, having a song that sounds like Franklin.
Yeah.
You know, and whatever, here it is. And it's added to country radio. And, you know, I'm the first person to say that there's room for everybody in country music. But the part that disheartens me is that you've got guys like Zach Bryan, Colter Wall, you know, like these guys are changing the way that country radio was approached. As you go back even to like a Chris Stapleton, when Stapleton left the Steel Drivers and he put out the Traveler album, that album was amazing. And he had all these accolades that came along with it. As we knew he was a great songwriter, knew he was a great vocalist, and now's his chance to stand out as an artist. And radio was so slow to pick him up because he wasn't bro country. And
right.
So the mainstream had a hard time adapting to him. Now this guy puts out whatever he wants and it gets added every time because he's massive. And the same thing for Zach Bryan and you know, even, I don't know necessarily Oliver Anthony. That was kind of a weird situation that came about from social media. But
right.
The thing that I don't like about Beyonce and Post Malone and there's more, right? Lil Nas X and whoever else is kind of coming in from that pop R&B side. His country was finally, I felt, getting back to its sensibilities. And then the pop machine behind it's going, no, we want to actually take that back over. We want to own the market. When you had these smaller, you know, rough around the edges. There's Jordan Jacque, you know, great producer, and I was working with him at a studio a long time ago, like just out of high school.
Okay.
And he said, you know, you can either have like a solid piece of wood with some like slivers and bumps and rough edges, or you can have a smooth veneer that's made from garbage.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'll choose the piece of wood every time. And
for sure.
I kind of took that with me and go, like, I want some substance and value, and I don't care if the vocal isn't perfect, and I don't care if there's notes that are missed in the playing or the production isn't as glossy. I want to hear guys singing. I want to hear a story behind it, and I want to hear something of value. And I just feel like we started to get a glimpse of it, and then the folks on the pop side of it are going, we need to get this back because we're going to lose control of our market share, of our gatekeeping, of our, all those other things. So how do we do that? Hey, Beyonce, why don't you put out a country record
or right.
whatever it is? Well, I don't know if that's exactly how it went. It's just how it feels it went.
For sure. And I agree with you on the piece of wood thing. And I'm the same way. I'd rather listen to someone who is singing something from the heart and they're hitting some bum notes than something that's so polished and meaningless and just kind of disposable. Yeah. But I guess the only benefit is maybe that pop fans are going to move over to country and they're going to listen to this stuff. And maybe it'll make them dig more. And maybe it'll make them say, hey, I like this. I never thought I liked country before. I'm going to look deeper into this. And that could end up benefiting the smaller, the more kind of more storytelling artists, more sort of a deeper sound.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, you know, and if there's a million people going over to country because of Beyonce or whoever, I mean, if you get 10 of those people, it's still a win for the genre, you know, as a whole, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
In constant sorrow. Bid farewell to old Kentucky.
constant sorrow. I've seen trouble all my days. Play that fiddle for me, son.
And I think the other neat part is like kind of really seeing how social media has played into it. So that was another kind of frontier where you're like, we still don't know what's going to happen with TikTok, but like, you know, the ability to put music into your reels and your TikToks and your YouTube shorts and all that kind of stuff, like, has really transformed the music community. So you'll look at, like, I'll use an example from a band called like Diamond Rio. So they're like a 90s, they would be like their mainstream country, heavy harmonies, really great writing, really great arrangements, and the vocal arrangements. Every song's just got one of those moments where you're just like, whoa, did that just happen? But you got to listen for it.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I don't expect everybody to know Diamond Rio, but they were a big deal on mainstream country radio, big deal in the US. And so we're playing at Cook County Saloon last year. And that was my first time playing, like, that's the oldest honky-tonk in Canada, or Western Canada. And so we go and play the show. And there's a lot of young kids there, like a lot of 18. There's an older crowd too.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of young kids. And I could not believe the kids. When they put Diamond Rio on, or Shenandoah, or Kenny Rogers, when the DJ puts that stuff on, and the kids go nuts for it. Now, I have to attribute that as they have to have seen that via social media. Like the song from Shenandoah, Two Dozen Roses, for whatever reason, it's big on social media. So it's not my favorite Shenandoah song, but everyone knows it when you play it. As soon as you start it, they love it.
Well, that's how music is discovered now, right? It's not the same as it used to be. People are hearing like a 30-second snippet on TikTok, and then that song gets huge because everyone and their dog is using it in their video, and then it somehow like magically converts into people getting the albums. I don't know how that works exactly, but I guess it's enough of an earworm that it sticks in their head and they want to find out more. You know, but yeah, I feel like, I mean, you know, my oldest daughter's a teenager now. She finds a lot of music through TikTok, which is alien to me, but it's just how they are introduced to stuff now. And so if it's getting people sort of in the door to be introduced to good stuff, then I can't fault it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. But here's the other cool part is this whole dance phenomenon, which we experienced probably 5 years ago when all the kind of, you know, preteens were doing the dances on TikTok and stuff. Now you've seen those kids grow up a little bit. I was playing in Falcon Trails at the ski resort. They had a honky tonk night. So they had this great house band. They had a bunch of, like, Madeline Roger was there. I was there. And they're like, we want them to dance, like play songs that they're going to dance to. So we played a bunch of dance tunes and we had this great time. They're line dancing, having a good time. After me, they had a square dance caller playing old fiddle tunes and calling it, now you do-si-do, and he's got all these kind of sayings that he's doing, and he teaches us the dance. There's 200, you know, call it 17, 18, you know, it was an all-ages show, but there's a lot of kind of like up to 24, kind of in that kind of, like, young kids, I would call them young kids, like, as far as being able to come to shows, right? Going crazy square dancing.
That's awesome.
And I'm like,
that's so weird, but yeah,
to me it's weird, but I actually think that comes from this learning dances mentality that they would have had 5 years ago when they first got on a TikTok, and now here they are and they're coming and dancing. I don't know what the era would be for square dancing, like 40s, 60s, I don't know.
Yeah, like, yeah. 70 years ago,
Yeah. All these, but they're playing all these traditional fiddle songs, and the people are dancing to it and going nuts. And
that's awesome.
Standing on the sidelines for the first one going like, what is happening here? This is monstrous. I want to start calling square dances on the set breaks. Like, what a moment. I won't, but that would be so creative.
That's awesome.
But then, it was such a neat moment just to see. And it took me a couple days to kind of really place, like, why was that so successful? I said, if not, he was from Falcon Lake, and Falcon's got a really diverse community there. And there's people who are like, you know, there's obviously really great, really expensive properties there.
Yeah.
And there's also a lot of people that, you know, live without, like they live off the grid, right?
Yeah, yeah, sure.
And so it's a whole cross section of people there. And then they also had a bunch of people coming out from Winnipeg. So it was really neat to just sit back and go like, where would they have thought to do this? But that was genius. Like that was like the coolest thing I've seen in a long, long time.
That is really cool. And yeah, I think you're right. Social media is they were primed for it by all those TikTok dances, and the idea of being told what to do in a dance, like how to perform dance moves is normal now, right? It's not unusual anymore.
Yeah.
It's like just part of the culture.
Yep, absolutely. It was funny. The first summer back after the COVID shutdowns, I was playing at a bar in Mooseman, Saskatchewan called the Uptown. And when you stand on stage at the Uptown, like the washrooms are off to the right. So they each go down a hallway, the men's washroom and the women's washroom. So you can see down those hallways when you're standing on stage. But the rest of the venue can't see down that hallway,
okay,
right?
Okay.
So what we noticed is you'd have people come to the show. So you're like 18, 19, 20 year olds, like this could be their first like bar show that they're at, sitting there in the front row, loving what they're hearing, having a great time, but not dancing. And then they go to the washroom and that hallway is full of people dancing, and I'm like, oh, sweet. They're just going to come back out on the dance and come on and dance. And they went back to their chairs and sat down. And I was like, oh, you're not used to dancing in public yet.
Yeah.
You love to dance, but you're not used to dance. You're used to dancing in front of a mirror or in front of your phone, not in this instance. So it was another neat little thing, but there's been this whole evolution now, not even just with the square dancing, but with two-step, like with all the kind of country partner dances that you would have had in the 90s, kind of around a Dwight Yoakam kind of style of sound. And you go to Ranchman's and they are pushing line dancing one night. They've got spin classes the next night, and then they've got partner two steps the next night. And it's cool that they just find so many different ways to kind of incorporate music into what they're doing. People want to learn that connecting kind of process of dancers with the band. And I mean, I think I've got the coolest job in the world because every town we go to is fireworks, rodeos, pancake breakfast, street vendors, you know, all the stuff going on, and we're put in charge of the party. And it's like, I love it when people kind of come together, and the way that music just kind of draws everybody in, and it's like, oh man, this is fun. This is fun to see them do this. And it's a beautiful night. You got the Northern Lights going or whatever it is. And you're just like, man, it does not get any more prairie than this.
One hot July summer night, when I was just hanging around, we started swapping stories, not really sure which ones were true. Horse racing at the frontier days, or the plates he wore in his boots. As the campfire grows, the fire pit knows there's a Mustang on the loose. Wild horse ride. Are telling lies with some long-haired hippie causing trouble who couldn't see the wild in his eyes.
out of a lesson book. The gambler shows only what he wants you to see, but your friends can read between the lines of that old melody. With a flash and a look and a hard ride, but fists were flying through the air. That one horse town saw you tear right down as you relived your younger years. Wild horse rider, one jump ahead of the rest. Two broken legs, ice in his veins, and a heart beating strong in his chest. Wild horse rider, from Cheyenne to Calgary. No, he won't tame down, always be around long as Mustangs still run free. Riding a Hancock just for fun. Well, his horse racing days are over now, but the cow milking's just begun. And sometimes over a fire at night, I can see him look to the west. Well, then Kenny leans over and says, just forget it, boy. It's the thrill you love the best.